Sounds like a meeting's about to start. It's really quiet, isn't it? Anyway, good morning, everyone. And, if there are any visitors here, we want to really welcome you. I think we forgot to do that earlier, so a little bit belatedly, but you're welcome too. And I'm going to speak this morning. My title for my message is on an encouragement to stand firm. While we were praying in the prayer meeting earlier on, Andrew started to read from Scripture about Joshua standing firm. I think it was Joshua, I can't remember, or the priests standing firm, and began to really pray about this, the importance of standing firm. And I just felt it was a real confirmation from the Lord, and that's what I want to bring to us this morning. So we're going to look at the first verse I'm going to look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20, which I think Claire's going to stick up for me, or most of it up there for me. And this was a part of a passage which Chris spoke about a few weeks ago. But in praying about today, I just felt this was a message that I want to really encourage us in. So 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says this: "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come." Wow. That's real positive stuff, isn't it? It's God that causes us and enables us to stand firm in Christ. Just thinking about what are the areas that we need to stand firm in. And I've come up with, I think it's three or four different areas here. Claire, if we could just put them up, please. First of all, we need to stand firm in our faith. 1 Corinthians 15:1 says this: "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain." If we hold on firmly to the gospel and with faith and conviction in that message, then we are saved. Jesus says in Matthew 24, "He who stands firm to the end will be saved." And I want to say as a church, we need to be very definite, very clear, very confident in this conviction of faith in Jesus, which saves us. It's not true that every path leads to heaven. Now, we're told that out there in the world, but that's just not true. There is only one path that leads to heaven. It's not true that all religions lead to God. Now, people tell me I'm not very PC. Well, if that's not very PC, it's what I believe. It's not true that all religions lead to God. There is only one way to God, through Jesus. And he takes us and brings us to the Father. It's not true that going to church and being confirmed or baptized will save you. Many people in the world believe that they've been confirmed as a young child or as baptized as a baby or christened, that they will go to heaven. Not true, necessarily. The only way to get to heaven is through faith in Jesus. And so we need this firm conviction in our heart that Jesus died for our sins, and that he rose again from the dead. And we'll be talking about that next week. And that leads to repentance and a changed life as we come to him. And through that, we are saved. Now, many have different views out there. But Paul says, hold firmly. This is the gospel which was preached. And this is what we preach here at LifeSpring. Jesus is the way to salvation and for eternal life. So we need to stand firm. And notice this. We need to stand firm to the end. If you believed last month and don't believe now, you could be in trouble. It doesn't matter what you said last month, what testimonies you've given, or over the last year or two, you need to believe at the end to be certain of your salvation. Are you saying, Neville, that people could lose their salvation? Well, if they turn away from Christ, yes, they can. If they turn away from Christ and don't believe, at the end, Jesus says and Paul says, you will not be saved. So brothers and sisters, we need to stand firm, and you can see why that's so important, and keep believing. We need to stand firm with the vision and calling of God on our lives. We are sons of God. The Holy Spirit confirms that. The enemy would want to throw us off course. Others might want to suggest different things. But we need to know that we have been chosen and called by God. We are children of God. And we're also called for a purpose in this world, to go and make disciples and to be good news everywhere we go and to bring much glory to Jesus. We need to stand firm on this calling and this hope and this vision which God has entrusted to us. And we need to stand firm in our trust and our faith in him. He is our Father, and he loves us, and he cares for us, and he forgives us, and he provides for us, and he is good all the time. And even though there may be things which, circumstances which change and which challenge and which can throw us off course, if we're going to be mature Christians, we stand firm in this, but God is always good and he's always faithful and he always loves. And I'm choosing to believe that word. So many of the songs which Matt brought to us earlier were reflecting that emphasis. So don't get thrown off course. Don't begin to question, does he really love me? Does he really care? Does he really know that I'm here? Does he really know what I'm going through at this moment in time? Yes, he does, and he loves you, and he wants to be a father to you. We need to let him in. Let him into our lives so that he can help us work through the stuff. It was interesting, one of the song about living on mountains or something like that. You know, it's not that the circumstances will always change, but God wants to give us that strength to cope and to work through difficult circumstances. And he's faithful. And we trust him. And we believe him. I don't know what's going to happen in the world. I don't know what's happening on this economy front. I don't know whether there's going to be pensions for those of us which have got more than 10 years or so to retire. I don't know if the whole capitalist system is going to collapse and the financial system. I don't know whether this is a blip and everything gets sorted in the next year and we've forgotten about it or not. But our trust needs to be in him, in God, not in the systems of the world. We firmly need our feet firmly on the rock, which is Christ. And so the enemy wants to challenge us so that we don't stand firm. Three keys, I think, to standing firm come in that verse which I read from 2 Corinthians. And I just want to spend a little time on each of these aspects. Let me just read that verse again from Corinthians. Just the second part of it. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. This is a positive gospel and a positive call on our lives. So first of all, he anointed us. If we could have the next slide, please, Claire. Luke 4, verse 17 says this of Jesus. Jesus had just come back from the wilderness. Scripture tells us he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he turned up to the synagogue, as was his custom, and they handed him the scroll of Isaiah to read. And this is what he began to read. He found the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then I think this is an amazing, probably the shortest sermon you'll ever hear preached. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. They'd had this scripture for hundreds of years. They probably read it regularly over the year for all that length of time, all those centuries too. Then all of a sudden, someone comes in the power of the Holy Spirit, reads it out, sits down and says, today, this scripture is fulfilled. You see, the result of the anointing on Jesus was the demonstration of the kingdom of God. Good news to the poor, deliverance, revelation, blind eyes being opened, physical healing, emotional healing, freedom and favor were all part of the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, I'm anointed to bring this to you. Acts 10 verse 38 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. And Paul says, we are anointed too. And I want to put to you, if we're to continue in the works of Jesus, as we are, we need that same anointing that Jesus received. And so he anoints us in the Holy Spirit. To his disciples, he said, don't go out of Jerusalem until you've received power from on high. And when the Spirit of God comes, you will be my witnesses. Church, that anointing is for each one of us too. And I hear some of you saying, but Nev, can't you just settle for ordinary church? Why are you raising the banner? Why are you raising expectation? We'll be disappointed again. We tried to pray and it's not happened. And we tried to do this and it's not happened. And, well, I don't know the answers to all of that. But what I do know is that I can't settle for church as we know it. And God wants to come and he wants to bring his kingdom in. And there needs to be more of heaven brought down here on earth than we're experiencing at the moment. And the only people in the world which are going to bring that in are the people of God, the Church of Jesus Christ. And we are part of that Church of Jesus Christ. And we need that anointing. We need that anointing to bring more of God's kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm standing firm on this. That's God's plan, that's God's purpose, that's God's intention for each one of us to bring more and more in. Jackie mentioned Bill Johnson. I don't like to talk about heroes like some of us do, but I mean, I like Bill. And one of the things I respect about him... Sorry? Debs loves Bill. I like Bill. One of the things I respect about Bill Johnson, he stands totally firm on his conviction that heaven needs to come to earth through the people of God. And he has seen hundreds, maybe thousands of people healed. And yet in his own back door, his eldest son is 80% deaf and he's nearly 30 and he's not healed. And they've prayed and they've prayed and they've prayed and he's not healed. And yet Bill stands on this conviction that healing is from God and God wants everyone better. And I respect him even more when I heard that there in his family, his eldest son is 80% deaf and he's still not prepared to settle for, well, maybe it's okay for some and not for others. But no, God wants to touch everybody with the power of the kingdom of God. Because deafness isn't in heaven. There's no deafness in heaven. And so it shouldn't be down here when we pray either, and where the kingdom of God is being manifested. I respect him for that. He's not swayed by circumstances. He's not swayed by those which he's prayed and they've not received healing because he knows God's plan is for health and wholeness because as in heaven, as it is here on earth. And I'm not settling for mediocre church either. That's God's plan for us too. I hope you'll stand firm with me on these things. You see, I believe with all my heart the local church is the hope of the world. That's a phrase from Bill Hybels. And I read that a few months ago, and it just resonated there. I thought, that's absolutely right. Now, the religious people among us say, no, Neville, it's Jesus. You know, Jesus is the hope of the world. But they're missing it. You see, Jesus is expressed through the church. The only way people are going to come to Jesus is through us. If you see, the church is like a magnet. It's either going to attract people to the Lord by the way we live, what we say, what people see in our lives, or it will repel people from the Lord. If that's what a Christian is, I don't want anything to do with that. Thank you very much. The church is a magnet. And so the church, the local church, is the hope of the world. There is so much power, so much love, so much potential in the people of God to change towns, cities, and nations. And so we need more, not less, of him, don't we? Breaking in to our lives. We may have taken a few hits recently, and we may have endured some setbacks, but I'm standing firm. Amen. And I want you to stand firm with me. The church is the answer to the world. I read this in this little book that Jackie Curtis will be pleased to hear quoted, as she lent me it in the first place, and I gave it to her back, so I need to get that myself. I need to get one of these books. This is what Bill Hybels says. He's talking about leaders, so but I'm including all of us here. People supernaturally gifted to lead must yield themselves fully to God. They must cast powerful, biblical, God-honoring visions. They must build effective, loving, clearly focused teams. Trying, Bill. Trying to do all this. They must fire up Christ followers to give their absolute best for God. Trying to do that as well. And they must insist with pit bull determination, I'm trying, that the gospel be preached, the lost be found, the believers be equipped, the poor be served, the lonely be added into community, and God gets the credit for it all. Amen. I like that vision. I can commit to that vision. That's what God has called us to be and to do. And the vision of G12, let me just throw this in very quickly, helps us do all of that stuff there. And some people say to me, have you ever thought of going in a different direction? Trying something differently. It doesn't seem to be working, does it? Do you know what? On my bad days, I wish I could. I just wish I could forget the last 5 or 6 years, put it down, and start again. But I can't, because I know God has entrusted us with this precious gift and this vision to outwork here, to impact Reading and beyond with the gospel of Jesus. I'm hooked. I'm sorry, guys. If you want a change of direction, it's not coming. I wish I could put it down, because I'm finding it hard. I'm finding it difficult at times, but I know that what God's called us to is where we need to be going. And he will equip us and he will help us. And I can't imagine doing church any other way than without the vision of 12. It's what Jesus did. And just because it's not happened for us just yet doesn't mean to say it's not going to happen. I'm standing firm. I'm pushing on through. I don't want to give up. I want to see Jesus glorified in this church. And what I've expressed there in that book, the vision completed and fulfilled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes I'm reminded. See, Jesus had a church, we had a following. And he said stuff. And they didn't like it. And so most of them left. That would be so disheartening. Most of them left his church. So he turned around to the 12 which remained. He said, you're going to go too? And they said to him, Lord, where can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And that's how I feel. Where can we go? God's given us a vision. God's given us dreams. God's given us a heart to impact, to make a difference. I can't go anywhere else. I'm just asking, as church, we stand together and we go forward together in that which God has called us to. Over the next few months, I'm probably going to 2 different countries in Africa. And I've been invited there to help talk about G12. And in both of these countries, and I'm thinking to myself, but what can I do? What can I say? What have I got to offer? Manny is one of them. Dan and I are going to Sudan. Manny has seen 1,000 young people come to the Lord. And at the moment, in this moment in time, nobody's caring. Nobody's looking after them. I think they're drifting. And I said, Manny, this was going back a few years. If you do this vision, if you want to care for these people, I've got a good way to do it. You know, you need to train up leaders. Da, 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 da. Nev, come and help us. And I've got another half dozen or so pastors that want to hear too. Can you come and just share some of these principles? And I'm thinking, I'm going in weakness because we haven't got a lot of fruit to share. But there's something in my heart which I just want to give. And Manny wants me to give. And then I've been asked to go to Liberia. Not too sure about this. Phil Teal thing on the end there. Kerry. Kerry's to go to Phil's church. He's asked me to go to Liberia with him and a number of other guys from Reading. He said, Nev, you need to come. I said, why, Phil? I said, we've got 3 or 4 different projects in Africa as it is. We can't take anything more on. You've got to come at least once, he said. There's 900 pastors out there which are doing G12. Well, they've had a contact with G12 and they want to do this vision. We could impact a third of the country. They're all out there in the bush and everybody comes to the main towns and the main cities. I really want you to come with me and at least come and see. So I'm going. And I'm thinking, I'm going in weakness and vulnerable. But Lord, if I can be used out there, because there's a hunger, there's a desire, we could change a nation. The gospel could change that nation. I'm thinking, I'm going. And so I think it's May or June time. I'm going out there too. So it's exciting. It's exciting what God's doing. But we want to stand firm. We need to stand firm in what God's called us to. 5 more minutes. So that was the first aspect, I think, wasn't it? Yes. He's set his seal of ownership on us. See, it says God helps us stand firm. He anoints us. He sets his seal of ownership on us. We are sealed. We are marked by the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit in us which confirms and testifies we are children of God. And so when Paul's writing this, he's saying, you know, God's given you all that you need to stand firm. He has anointed you. He's put his seal of ownership on you. You are bought with a price. You are his through and through. You are already his. And I think for some of us, we need to just show that and express that, that we belong to him by the choices which we make. You know, it's not just, what shall I do now? It's, Lord, what do you want me to do? What job do you want me to do? What role do you want me to play in the church? What do you want me to do in the family situation or whatever it might be? We've been bought with a price. We're saying, God, you come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life. I wanted to do this, but God has said, no, okay, I won't do that, I'll do this. Because now we're his and we've been bought with a price. And lastly, on this side of things, he's given us his Holy Spirit. Every one of us here who is a Christian has been baptized by his Spirit into the church. He has given us the Holy Spirit. Every one of us here who is a Christian has received the Holy Spirit in us. And he's brought us together as family. You know whether you're a Christian or not because one of the tests is, well, you love your brothers and sisters. And if you don't love the church, you've got to say, well, am I saved? Because the Spirit of God in us makes us part of God's family, the family of God. But I talked about the anointing of God. You see, it's the Spirit of God in us, but it's the anointing of God on us, which is for the world. And that's why we need both. Everybody here who's saved has the Spirit in us. We all need to ask God for that anointing on us, that we might continue the works of Jesus. You see, the Bible knows no other expression of Christianity other than those which are joined, connected, and committed to a local church, local expression of church. That's what being saved is all about. You repent, you believe, you get baptized, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, and you are part of a church. And that's biblical Christianity. And so, LifeSpring, stand firm. Anointing is before us, he's given us his Spirit, and he's put that seal of God on our hearts and in our lives. What more do we need? Well, he's already talked about the promises of God, always yes and amen. Stand firm on those promises too. Believe all that God has spoken, and we will be strong in the Lord. More than 15 times, Paul urges Christians to stand firm in the New Testament. I'm not going to have time to say all I wanted to say, but just hear this. More than 15 times, he says, stand firm. And the reason is because we're in a battle. And when things get tough and when things get hard, the likelihood is we'll wobble, we'll question, we'll be up and down, we'll be wondering where we are. Is it really true? Is it really going to happen? You know, these things which we've been standing firm on, is it all going to be? So Paul says, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm in Christ. In Ephesians, Paul says, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, notice it's when, not if, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, and he then goes to describe the armour of God. You see, we need that equipping. We need those attributes that God wants to provide to enable us to stand firm. So that when that day comes, when that day of testing comes, when that sickness comes, when that disappointment, that bereavement, when that breakdown of relationships or financial difficulty or whatever it is, when it comes, we still stand firm because we've received the anointing of God and we're living in the armour of God. Just lastly, and I'm just whizzing through this, just a couple of scriptures, and then I want to close and just invite the Holy Spirit to come. But I just want to mention this one. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says this, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the positive confession again. Thanks be to God. Let me just say, he did not always experience that victory in his own life. He was stoned, he was left for dead, he was imprisoned, he was flogged, he was bitten by snakes, he was deserted by all of his friends, he was harangued by the Jews, he was shipwrecked. Paul had an awful life, if you just look at it from a circumstantial point of view. But he says, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory. None of those things prevented Paul from accomplishing what God had put his hand on him to accomplish. Because God gave him the victory through our Lord. And he goes on, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. I just want to leave us with a thought. Brothers, sisters, let's stand firm together. Don't stop serving God. Don't stop giving to God. Don't stop coming and being part of what God's wanting to do. Don't stop praying for people just because you haven't seen the last person healed. Don't stop serving. We are standing firm. We are going forward in all that God's called us to do, because the victory will be ours. Ultimately, the victory will be ours. In 2 Corinthians, or he says there, I think it's 2 Corinthians, thanks be to God, he always leads us in victory. He always leads us in victory. And as a church, we need to be those which just rise up above circumstances and say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm standing firm. You've called me. You've chosen me. We will complete. We will see fulfilled your plan in our lives as we commit and submit to you. Amen. Amen. I would like us just to stand together if we could, and Matt, if we could have some music, please. Just as Matt's coming up, Claire, can you just put on the very last slide? There was just six areas there which I'm just going to leave for you to see. Just six things there which help us stand firm in Christ. I'm not going to preach them. You can read them yourselves. Resist him. All the negative thoughts need to be resisted. Take captive those thoughts. Reject the negative. Confess the positive. Guard your heart and mind. The enemy's out there wanting to prowl, wants to steal what he's given us. Guard your heart and mind. Choose company carefully. So that will affect your heart and mind, what you listen to, what you read. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. Be honest with God and each other. You know, I've been calling out to God. I've been saying, God, where are you at times? It doesn't feel like you're in the same room as me. And I've been really, really honest with God. We need to be honest with God and with each other, and he will come through for us. And just lastly, maintain godly disciplines. The easiest thing to do when we're feeling a little bit down or disappointed is just to forget prayer, forget the Bible, forget church, forget things which are going to do us good. I want to say, church, don't neglect godly disciplines, because they will help us as we keep focused to come through to all that God's got for us. We're going to just sing a song, I'll be Matt. And after we've sung this song, we've got a little bit of time left, haven't we? After we've sung this song, I want to just...